If it's creepy and it's freaky, it's on hashtag Creaky, a podcast about the paranormal and unexplained. And here are your hosts, Megan and Brooks.
Thank you, disembodied voice, once again.
Well, always a lovely introduction.
Yes, it is. So, today, Moon Knight people. Sounds super freaky.
Yeah, super creaky.
Creaky, that's right. And I've been reading about moon-eyed people for about 8 months now, watching videos, everything I can to figure out what the hell they were. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about them?
I mean, from what you explained just on the last episode where we talked about what we're going to be talking about today, you know, I have a couple theories, but I'll go into that later. You know, me and my theories, I have different ideas of what could be going on there.
Right. It is a Cherokee legend. So the Cherokee people knew the Moon-Eyed people. And eventually they, you know, kind of ran them out of southern Appalachia. This is where the legend of the Moon-Eyed people begins. Mm-hmm. They are small, pale people with really big blue eyes that only came out at night to do their work. They could not come out in the sunlight, whether it was because it was too harsh on their eyes or their skin or whatever. For whatever reason, they lived in caves underground and only came out at night. They also built a wall, like a stone wall, that still exists today. People actually go to it to see it. And the legend is that it was created by the Moon-Eyed people. The legend goes back to like 200 or something. 200. Hold on. Let me take a look here to make sure that I'm not misspeaking. It goes back. The legend goes back to, 200 to 300. Whatever that means. I'm thinking it's like before AD or however you do the years. And it was a Cherokee myth. And there's several accounts of the Cherokee people seeing these Moon-Eyed people. The stone wall is in Fort Mountain State Park in Georgia. But like most of what I've read says that they lived in southern Appalachia, and they were even mentioned by Thomas Jefferson when they started the expulsion of the Cherokee people, the Trilleteers. They were called Welsh Indians. That's what Thomas Jefferson referred to them as. There's one theory that they came over here from the UK way back when, because there's this legend that there was a Welsh king or prince that had a ship that came over here way before Christopher Columbus, and he was never heard from again. So some people believe that the Moon-Eyed people are descendants of this Welsh prince. But I don't think that explains why they're so little and they only come out at night. Like, I believe the Welsh people do come out during the day and they're not that little.
Yeah, that sounds like, I mean, to me, it sounds like some type of evolution of like subterranean humanoids, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of The Time Machine. Have you ever read that book?
Mm-mm.
There's also a movie, but basically he goes so far into the future. I believe the moon was, something happened to the moon and people, there's a certain race of people that went underground and they evolved to live underground, but they would come up and attack the people that lived on Earth, like above ground.
So these like people, a subterranean people.
Yeah. And they would eat them. Like, they were like cannibals. Mm-hmm. And the people that lived above ground always built like on top of mountains and trees and stuff to try to stay away from the underground people, because they would only come up at night. They couldn't during the day because they evolved to live underground. It's a really good book if you read it, but it kind of reminds me of this because these are cave people that don't come out during the day, only at night, and they do their work. So I assume that means that they would fish, hunt, build their little walls. I'm not really sure.
Gather.
Yeah, exactly.
It puts me in the mind of the movies, The Hills Have Eyes. Ooh. I mean, they weren't like little people, but they were people that lived in like caves and underground. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they could still come out during the day, but they were cannibalistic.
Yeah. Well, so the legend goes back to, you know, way before. They said the stone wall is thought to have been constructed around 400 or 500 CE. According to Cherokee legend, the wall is a remnant of a war that the Moon-Eyed people fought and lost against the neighboring Creek nation. The Creeks drove the Moon-Eyed people from their homeland during a full moon, which even the pale light of it's blinding to these nocturnal people. Another version of the story has it was the Cherokee themselves who waged war against the Moon-Eyed people, driving them from their home, a village which is now Murphy, North Carolina, west into Tennessee. Both versions of the story say the Moon-Eyed people began living underground after losing the war. These are just theories and legends, so we don't know if this is true or not. I also heard that the Moon-Eyed people wouldn't cross the certain creek because of a legend of a huge red leech. And the Cherokee like heard about this and they went and they saw it. It was a huge like prehistoric leech that was red and just lived like in caves in the river. And the Moon-Eyed people wouldn't cross over it because they didn't want to get eaten by this huge leech, I guess.
Huge leech. Like it puts me in the mind of like the Blob.
Yeah, or red one. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I thought too. Again, these are all legends. The legend of the Welsh prince, his name was Prince Madoc. According to the Welsh story, Madoc was a Welsh prince who, disenchanted with the civil war racking his homeland, set sail with his brother and a few followers in 1170 across the Atlantic Ocean and landed somewhere around Mobile Bay, Alabama. After some exploring up and down the rivers, he decided he liked the place and decided to move in. He left some of his fellow Welshmen behind. Then Madoc returned to his native country and recruited enough followers to fill 10 ships. He and his colonists set sail back to America and was never heard from the Wells again. Some have speculated that the Moon-Eyed people are descendants of Madoc's colonists and that it was Welshmen who fought a war with the Cherokee and these Welshmen who built the stone forts that dot the ridges of the mountains. They're called Welsh Indians in history, like I said, when Thomas Jefferson mentions them. You know, if they only come out at night, then I don't think people actually know exactly what they look like. You know, they did. If they fought this war and they're little bitty people, of course they're going to lose. And that's why they got expelled from North Carolina. Also, in the late 1800s, let me get to that part that I've got. There was a stone carving. So in the 1800s, they were doing some renovations in Murphy and they were digging and they found this, like, I don't know how to explain it. I'll have to post a link to it. It's like this statue. It was discovered in Murphy in 1840. But it wasn't available for public display until 2015. It's like these Siamese twins that have these big eyes and flat faces, and they're really little. And yeah, they have no idea where it came from, who did it, or anything like that. And I'll send it to you, Brooke, so you can see it. But that, ever since I saw this statue, that's what I think of whenever I think of the Moon-Eyed people. And they look like aliens.
Yeah, that was another thing, like theory-wise, like what if these are extraterrestrials who came here, became like cave dwellers and were at war with Native Americans?
That's what I'm thinking. What if these aliens came here and they were so far from like the sun that that's just how they were? And they had to live underground and could only come out at night because they just evolved that way on whatever planet they were from.
I mean, that would explain like their complexion as well, the whole pale, large eyes, not being able to come out into the sun.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe even like the crash landing somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, and you know, of all of the, you know, stuff that happens in the mountains that we hear about, the Brown Mountain Lights, mm-hmm. all of the activity in that area, it just makes sense that they would be from that area. And there's nowhere that I found that says that there's proof that they still, that they don't exist anymore. It's just thought that they don't exist because nobody sees them, but it's not proven that they don't exist anymore.
And if you think about like all the cave systems and just the amount of like underground tunnels, you know, mm-hmm. crazy things can still be down there.
Yeah, exactly. It's very creepy, very creaky. Mm.
Super creaky.
And if they drove them out of North Carolina, then there's no telling how far west they went. And we know that there are caves basically everywhere all around North America. Mm-hmm. So they could definitely be still living around. What I kind of want to know is like the Cherokee people definitely saw them since it is a legend and it was passed down. Could they communicate with them in any way?
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Like, what was the motivation for a war between them? Was it just these Moonai people just monstrous and they were, you know, quick to fight them? I mean,
right. Did they attack or was it just over land? Like, you can't live in our mountains. These are our mountains.
Yeah, I mean, territorial.
Right. And I mean, that's what we fought the war with Indians over was land. We were like, hey, we're here. We're taking this. And they were like, no, that's not cool. So they started a war with us. But who knows who was there first? Was it the Indians or was it the Moonad people? To say that that wall has been around for that long, like over 1,000 years, makes me think that, you know, it's pretty close who was there first.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different mythology and stuff that goes back to possibly being extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Greek mythology of, you know, chariots of light coming down, the gods.
Right.
You know, that's been, can also be interpreted into, you know, aliens and spaceships.
That's true. I never really thought of it that way, but that makes mm-hmm. perfect sense.
That's another thing with Moonai people. Maybe Moonai people were original inhabitants.
Right, yeah. The possibility. Yeah.
But then there's also still the possibility of it just being, you know, maybe a group of Native Americans that went underground and slowly evolved into being smaller to navigate the cave systems better. Getting large eyes and, you know, not quite night vision, but being able to see better in the dark, which means they couldn't come out into the sun because it'd be too bright for them. So it could be a case of evolution.
There we go. Mm-hmm. I like to think that they're aliens just because I believe that aliens have came down here and have set up a colony or something. I think that explains the Brown Mountain Lights. And if you haven't listened to our Brown Mountain Light episode, I urge you to do that because we talk about alien activity in the mountains and we actually go over an account of one of our listeners who was abducted by an alien or alien race, or we don't really even know, in the mountains of North Carolina and still has experiences to this day from it. From whatever they did to him, who knows?
Because we also even talked about in our previous podcast about skinwalkers, about the possibility of skinwalkers being extraterrestrial.
Yes, and coming through portals that may be, you know, from another world, another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Just portals in general. We don't know where the portal leads to. I don't think. You know, I would like to look and see if there are any instances where people have went through a portal and came back. That would be really interesting to me.
You mean an account of going through a portal and then somehow finding their way back?
Yeah. I mean, I think of like the Upside Down, you know, from
Stranger Things.
Yes, from Stranger Things. That was definitely a portal that they moved through.
That I would think, though, the way they set that up is that seems very dimensional, because it's like it's a different side of the current world we live in.
Right.
Because everything's like the same over there. It's just, you know, really different. It's another dimension. You know, it's like the same landscape and buildings and whatnot. Whereas like for extraterrestrials to move back and forth, I would think they would have to have portals from like a very distant world that would be able to allow them just to, you know, seamlessly cross over into our world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was thinking the Brown Mountain Lights, what if it was aliens, and I don't know if they come from a portal or wherever, and they're looking for these Moonine people?
Yeah, well, maybe like crash long ago. But then again, you know, we get into the whole possibility of time basis, you know, like time travel in itself. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're looking for the Moonine people, maybe like these thousands of years doesn't really make a difference to them.
That's true. Yeah, that makes sense. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So reading more about the Welsh Indians, that's what they were called in the 18th and 19th centuries. Stories about them were extremely popular. Governor Dinwiddie, I don't know.
Dinwiddie?
D-I-N-W-I-D-D-E. Dinwiddie of Virginia. Okay, the governor of Virginia back then put a staggering sum of £500 to finance an expedition to find the Welsh Indians he believed were west of the Mississippi. There are even documents that say Lewis and Clark kept an eye out for the Welsh Indians on their expedition. So they were talked about a lot back then. They were like a known thing. The idea of Welsh Indians persisted long enough for a good part of the 20th century. A historical maker commemorating Prince Madoc's journey and donated by the Daughters of the American Revolution stood on the beach in Mobile Bay, until it was removed by a more historically conscientious member of the Park Service. So they had like a whole thing for the Welsh Indians. When James Mooney published Myth and Legends of the Cherokee in 1902 and introduced the Cherokee legend of the Moon-Eyed People to a larger audience, seems to be when the Cherokee story and the story of Prince Madoc began to be conflated. The idea of Welsh Indians was just one of several popular ideas of pre-Columbian contact with the New World that were circulating in America at the time. The notion that the lost tribes of Israel somehow also managed to find their way to North America even found its way into the first new American religion when Joseph Smith published the Book of Mormon. So there are lots of different theories of who these people are. Could be ancient tribes of Israel. I would think, though, like that's Middle East, so they wouldn't be so pale. But if it's an ancient tribe, I don't know what they look like back then.
That's true.
I just know what they look like today. Many of the stories seem to have risen up from the conception that the citizens of the new American nation had of Native Americans, as opposed to the historical reality of the continent. The romantic idea of Indians as primordial, timeless, and having lived in essentially the same manner for centuries before European contact began to be prevalent in America as the new nation emerged. Ideas about the pre-contact size of the population of America at the time was also grossly underestimated. Americans saw the Indians as being scattered in small populations, unaware that these were the remnants of once populous nations whose ranks had been devastated by European disease in the early years of contact. Modern estimates say as much as 90% of the native population of North America died from disease in the 16th and 17th centuries. And I mean, that's true. When you think of Native Americans, I always think of like these little tribes just scattered around. We don't really know how large the populations were because 90% of them died. These civilizations left behind physical remains which Europeans encountered, particularly the mound-building culture left behind the remains of cities and temple complexes across the southeastern United States along the Mississippi Valley, stretching as far east as Town Creek Mound in North Carolina. At its height, around 1200, the city called Cahokia near modern St. Louis was twice the size of contemporary London and larger than any other city in North America would be again until the 20th century. Encounters with the abundant evidence of this civilization led to wild speculation about who built the mounds and what their purpose was. So that means those walls and the different structures that people associate with the moon-eyed people. So some believe that it's a race, what they would call Native Americans, because they were native to America whenever people came. So they're still considered Native Americans in history, since technically they were native to America. So the hill forts that stretch along the southern Appalachians and the Cherokee legend of a conflict with some other people may very well be related. It could all be evidence of a war that was fought on an impressive scale on North America soil a long, long time ago. We may never know the parties involved in the conflict, but we can be fairly certain that none of them were Welsh. So this theory, this is from the North Carolina Ghosts, if you want to go and, you know, look this up, is that there's no way the Moon-Eyed people were Welsh because of the huge populations of Native Americans in America before the, you know, the European people came over. If the European people came over and killed off with their diseases, then wouldn't the Welsh people have done the same?
That would have already happened. That would have, they would have already brought disease over.
Yeah. So they're saying that these were not Europeans because they did not have the same diseases they would have had back then. They would have brought them over and killed off a lot of the Native Americans, especially if they fought a war against each other. I mean, war, pretty close contact. You're going to catch a cold at least from somebody. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen because when we came over in the, you know, early 1600s, 1700s, that's when the Native American population started to dwindle. That makes me think even more that it's aliens and whatever they had, they couldn't give to humans.
Wow. Or vice versa. Maybe it's something the Native Americans could have passed on to them. You know, their immune system could have been low.
Right. That's true. Who knows? We will never know. But I would still like to go to the museum that has this stone statue of the Moon-Eyed people and take a look. I did watch some videos of people that went and talked to the different historians there, and they told them, you know, about how it was found, and it had been passed around from private collectors until 2015. Now it's on display. Yeah. But I think that the Cherokee legend of the Moon-Eyed people having really light skin and big blue eyes stayed consistent. Like whenever I read about the Moon-Eyed people and what people, like the different theories of them, they always have light skin and big blue eyes. Yeah.
Well, how else could that be misconstrued though? Because if you think about it, like I'm trying to think of like from the perspective of a Native American. If it was the Welsh and they showed up, I mean, if they saw, you know, white people, wouldn't they say like, wow, those people are really pale?
Yeah.
And if they had big, bright blue eyes, like, wouldn't they just have like, you know, just regular blue eyes? Couldn't that be misconstrued?
That's a possibility. I mean, they look very different from Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So anything that seems extreme would have been to them, whether they were aliens or just plain old white people.
Yeah, blue-eyed white people.
Yeah, but they were little. Like, that's what also, like, they were supposedly miniature people.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's definitely...
It's different.
That's definitely different.
Yeah, and the caves that they lived in supposedly were really little. And you, if you look at these walls... They're tiny walls that they supposedly built. Like, I don't know how much has been taken away with like erosion and weathering and all that kind of stuff, but they still are really little walls. And I, you know, if they built them for the war, it's no wonder they lost.
Well, that's also, if you think about it too, there's still like the whole myths of like, like trolls.
I was thinking that elves.
Mm-hmm. You know, forest dwelling, you know, creatures like that. That could be, you know, someone if you know that could be based off of something real like that.
It's true. There's so much about the history of the world we still don't know. I mean, dinosaurs weren't discovered until, I mean, thinking about the whole history of the human race is very, very recent, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. In the last, 100 years, you know more about.
I think they're still like learning more and more about dinosaurs as far as finding more varieties of them.
Yeah, different species or
kinds. Things that we believed about the dinosaurs have been like disproven. I think one of the big ones is like the appearance of how the Velociraptor looked. Mm-hmm. Apparently they did have feathers.
Oh.
There was even a T-Rex that I think it was a type of T-Rex that had feathers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it kind of starts going back to the whole theory of dinosaurs evolving into birds.
I remember whenever I was in elementary school, so this was like 30 years ago, when we were learning about dinosaurs, their tails drug on the ground behind them. And then, you know, as time went on, the tails went up because when they found like footprints and things, they didn't find a tail print. So where they thought that they drugged their tails before, and now that's been proven that they didn't, and all of their tails were raised.
And even in just like, you know, present day time, you know, we're still finding, you know, new species of animals
that do exist
that we have not come across yet. So there's still tons of different stuff out there, you know, especially, you know, cave systems, oceans.
Yeah, they're even finding like ancient people, and they're finding new things out about them and things like that. Let's take a break and then we'll discuss more when we get back. And we're back. Before the break, we were talking about ancient humans and how they have discovered new things. And I was reading recently, and now I'm looking at the article, and it was about a year ago. It says a handful of recent discoveries have shattered anthropologists' picture of where humans came from and when. So this was really recent that what we thought about humans and how they evolved, we're finding new things out that maybe it wasn't so true. As anthropologists have discovered new species of human ancestors, the understanding of human history has changed. By sequencing the genomes from our Neanderthal and Denisovan cousins, scientists have also gained new insight into the genetic origins of our species. As researchers make more of these breakthroughs, the puzzle of who we are and where we came from gets more complicated. The earliest humans may have emerged much earlier and in a different place in the world than scientists previously thought. Which is kind of crazy, right? Until the past few years, most scientists thought that the first members of our species, Homo sapiens, evolved in East Africa about 200,000 years ago. And then the humanity remained in Africa for the next 140,000 years. But what they're finding out is that might not be so true. In 2017, in Morocco, questioning the idea that modern humans originated in East Africa. So they found something and now they're not so sure. They found bones in Morocco that were significantly older than any other bones that had ever been found. That's crazy. Researchers determined that the bones unearthed in Morocco were 315,000 years old, roughly 100,000 years older than the bones previously considered oldest in modern human fossils. So we are finding human remains that are older and older as time goes on. And not just a few years older, hundreds of thousands of years older. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me find the little part that I really wanted to mention. The newly discovered species named Homo luzoninus, I'm not good with scientific words, after the island where it was found lived between 50,000 and 60,000 years ago. The ancestors shared traits with older human ancestors like Homo erectus, as well as modern day humans. So it's like the link between some of the even more ancient to now. And they like the teeth are even still there. And these were found in the Philippines. Two spelunkers, look, cave. They found human remains in a cave, a hidden cave. The chamber contained 1,550 bones belonging to at least 15 individuals who lived between 300,000 and 250,000 years ago.
Wow.
The timeline suggests this human ancestor might have lived alongside early Homo sapiens in Africa. And they're called Homo naledi. The point is that they're finding new species of humans, some of which have been found in caves. Like, were they buried in the caves or did they live in the caves? We don't know.
So it could be that our link to our moon-eyed people, right, as far as a different breed of humanity living underground and evolving to look like, you know, the depiction that the Native Americans made of moon-eyed people.
Exactly. And I mean, how could we prove that the humans that they're finding originated on Earth and didn't come from another planet?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to prove that? Because somehow I read recently that they proved that the octopus.
Yeah, I remember this. The octopus.
It came from an alien bacteria and evolved into, it looks like an alien. But how can they prove that humans weren't?
Weren't from some type of alien bacteria that evolved?
Exactly. It's possible, right?
Well, I mean, if an octopus can be proven to have certain aspects of it that, you know, they think is like, hey, this is not of this world, you know, why not us? Why not anything?
Right. And that made me start thinking about the moon-eyed people and how, what if it was an alien race that landed and just evolved to live in the caves, mm-hmm, and looked human-like because that's how it had to evolve to live on Earth. Because, I mean, humans obviously live on Earth. So anything human-like would evolve to kind of look like a human anyways, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Go ahead.
That's what I like about doing this, the Creaky podcast, is that it kind of somewhat opens doors. You know, we start talking about these myths, legends, you know, paranormal activity, and we can start making these kind of these leaps and these like links and theories that kind of open doors to other things.
Exactly. Yeah. Because nothing, I mean, they've never found any moon-eyed people remains.
Mm.
So there has been no, you know, scientific research on this race of people. It's all been through legends and stories that were passed down, and also these historical accounts like Lewis and Clark looking for them, Thomas Jefferson mentioning them. So it was pretty prevalent back then, and it leads me to believe that they were real and they existed and people saw them. Right?
Yeah, I think with any legends, that there's at least some type of inkling of truth there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, I would like to just go and look at this wall and look at that stone statue. The wall is in Georgia. It is in Fort something. I'm going to have to look it up. I'm sorry. I didn't do a good job with researching. I feel like I wrote it down right. There's a photo of the stone wall ruins up Fort Mountain Rock. That's the name of where the wall is. And, you know, they can tell how old the wall is, but not exactly.
Mm-hmm. More of an estimate.
Yeah. the wall zigzags along Fort Mountain for 855 feet and varies between 2 and even 6 feet tall at points. So, I mean, it did get pretty tall, I guess. The pictures I saw there, it's really little. Archaeologists estimate that the stone wall was constructed between 500 and this says 1500. So even farther back than what I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, according to Cherokee lore, the wall was built by the Moon-Eyed people and that they were driven out by the Cherokee.
Now that that ancient race of people that was found in the Philippines, were they small?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me look. From what I can tell,
I looked up a quick article. I Googled it as well, real quick, and one of the headlines from one of the articles is "Unknown species of tiny ancient human discovered in Philippine cave."
Oh, that's probably it then. I didn't read all of it, but the skull looks small. The skull definitely looks small. When a guy's holding it, like, he can hold it in one hand easy. And I mean, of course, a skull, you probably can't, but the way his hands look around it, it just makes it look really small.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've heard that even if you go into a house, like we went to George Washington's house when we visited DC, we went up to where his house was. Like I had to duck in some of the doorways.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that, you know, we've evolved to be taller, that we weren't always really tall, you know, and that,
yeah, like what was the average height like a couple hundred years ago?
Let me take a look at that, because that's
like interesting, because I thought about this as well, like just looking one at our family and like everyone else around us is like, you know, even years ago, you know, being like 6 foot or taller was kind of like, wow, you're really tall.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, our parents aren't that tall.
No.
You know? So the average height in the 1700s for a man was 5'6".
See? 5'6".
Yeah. Yeah. And in the 1600s, so even 100 years before that, the average height was 5'4". So the average height went up 2 inches in 100 years. But I feel like it's kind of grown a lot more.
Yeah.
As people have kids and they grow. And there's different theories on why, you know, hormones in our food and things like that. But, I mean, even far back when we didn't have those hormones in our food, we were slowly getting taller.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the average height is in, let's say, the 1300s.
I'm looking at today's average height, and they're saying that it's 5'9".
Oh, see, just a few inches. But I feel like, is that the average between men and women? You know what I mean?
True.
Like, because women are obviously shorter than men. So that's going to bring the average down. But I mean, these Moon-Eyed people, they had to have had female and male to be able to exist for hundreds of years. But again, if they were aliens, maybe they didn't. Maybe they were all like a male race. Maybe that's they were true. Like Smurfs. Smurfs, that's where Smurfs came from.
Well, the possibility. Someone saw a Moon-Eyed person and was like, is that a Smurf?
Oh.
I mean, think about it, like with most any animals, you know, their environment depicts their type of growth or evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with like raising snakes, the larger area you keep snakes in, they grow bigger. Same with fish in aquariums.
That's true.
You know, their environment depicts their growth. So that would also go the same for, you know, us, you know, earth dwellers or the people above ground. Mm-hmm. And then Moon-Eyed people, or even just, you know, just cave-dwelling people in general, would have to be smaller and have to adapt to their environment.
That's true. Also, what kind of interests me a little bit with how they looked is if you think about alien encounters and the wide eyes and the pale skin, And some are, you know, I've heard of tall ones and really short ones.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that sculpture, it really does look like some of the images that you see that are associated with being an alien. I mean, I don't know. I like the theory that they were aliens.
Mm-hmm. That's when you're leaning more towards.
I am, only because we have no evidence of them other than that stone wall. There's no remains of them that they found yet. But again, they didn't find those, you know, bones in the Philippines until recently, and it was because of people that were in the cave, spelunkers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there are areas of the cave that do have these remains. We just haven't found them yet.
That's true. There's probably, I mean, there's still a pretty big, large amount of unexplored cave systems, you know, right, worldwide.
Mm-hmm. And if they had blue eyes, I've read and there's a research study that shows that people with blue eyes have a single common ancestor. It was a genetic mutation that took place between 6 and 10,000 years ago. And that's the cause of all the blue-eyed people alive today.
Mm.
So for these, you know, moon-eyed people to be humans, that would have had to have been one of their ancestors, unless, you know, they had a genetic mutation that hadn't been studied yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
I would definitely like to hear from our listeners, because I always like to hear, I mean, you know, we get to hear all of our theories. I'm sure anyone listening would probably have a possible different theory.
Yeah. I mean,
I love hearing the theories.
Something that we didn't discuss, you know, not being the Welsh Indians, an alien, humans that have evolved to live in caves, something like that. Anything, really. I also want to talk about a message that we received about our last podcast. So our last podcast went over skinwalkers, and we talked about an area in North Carolina close to Uori that had a lot of activity. And one thing I want to mention is we found out where you were camping at.
Yes.
And it was...
The reason I didn't catch on to it before is one, I couldn't remember it. Right. I think me and my sister that went to this camping trip called it the Uahari.
Oh, the Uahari.
I think that's how we were pronouncing it. Oh. So it turns out that's where we were, exactly where we were when we were in camping.
Yeah.
And so, we had those odd experiences that I talked about.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and listen to that. And whenever Brooke says he doesn't remember where he was camping and it was close to Fayetteville, that is a lie.
That is, yeah. that is that hot spot. Uori.
Yeah, he was in the hot spot, which makes a little more sense now.
Yeah, it makes it a lot more creepier. I'll give it that for my our experiences out there.
The one that the message I got was from Jess, who actually does a podcast called Jarred. And they talk about creepy things or creaky things too. But she says that she's hiked Morrow Mountain, which is in Uori, a couple times, and the supernatural energy there is insane. You can tell from the second you get there that it's sacred ground in some way. The energy is absolutely overwhelming. So there's another experience of Uori. I feel like I want to go now and do our investigations.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there before, so
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't mind going again.
She also mentions the story about the bright lights portals makes her wonder if the brown mountain lights are a skinwalker portal, which is a good, you know, a good theory.
It's a good connection.
Yeah. And she also mentioned something about Normie, the Lake Norman monster, which was our first episode of Creaky. So she says her dad and stepmom rented a house on Lake Norman for a week, and she was able to break away from work and spend the day down there. When she got there, her dad made joking mention of there being a lake monster, and she rolled her eyes and was like, he was like, "You don't believe me? Look what we found on the dock." And he showed her photos he had taken of some kind of animal at the end of their boat dock near the water, like a beaver or a woodchuck or something, hard to tell, and it was shredded, just in pieces, dismembered and disemboweled. And there was nothing left except the head and neck area and its intestines. And how Jess found our podcast as she was researching Normie, the late Norman monster, because she's going to do a podcast episode on it and mention Creaky. So I just wanted to mention her experiences that she sent me. And we really appreciate any kind of experiences you want to send us. Mm-hmm. Because we will talk about them on the podcast. If you don't want us to talk about them, say, hey, so don't mention this on the podcast. Otherwise, it's fair game. But yeah, moon-eyed people, though, we definitely want to hear any theories you have on moon-eyed people. If you've seen them, yeah.
I would love to hear about any type of recent sightings. I mean, there's been like no recent sightings of these things, right?
Not that I could find, like in the most recent thing I found about them was the guy that wrote the book in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gave the information to a wider population. But I'll look that up really quick because I didn't want anything that I read, I didn't see anything about it.
Well, one thing that I mean, this might be a pretty big leap connection wise is, you know, I thought about these moon eye people. You know, the Native Americans perceived them as another type of tribe of people that they went to war with, you know, from the lore. And that might have been the way, you know, these extraterrestrials or the moon eyed people, you know, just kind of blended in and became, you know, they saw these tribes, they became a tribe themselves. So yeah. It kind of put me in the mind of all the talks and the legends of the black-eyed children.
Oh, those are good ones.
Because, one, they're small. I believe they're also pale, but they also have, like, big and black eyes.
Yeah,
so just different, like emptiness. Different right? eyes, but, yeah. But it could be another possibility of either the moon-eyed people or extraterrestrials trying to blend in to the, you know, current culture. As in back then, you know, they became a tribe. And today they are disguised as children because they're small. I mean, that may be a big leap, but it kind of made me think about that possibility.
No, I like it. I like that. It's really creaky, but it kind of makes sense. You know, maybe they've evolved to where they can come out in the sunlight now, but their eyes have to be darker to be able to handle it. I don't know. I think that's a good subject for our next creaky episode, Black Eyed Children.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of counts on the Black Eyed Children.
Yeah, and I've even heard some, like a person talking about it, about an experience with the Black Eyed Children. So I think that's a good subject to kind of go from this one to the next. Let's talk about the Black Eyed Children.
So that's next topic is the Black Eyed Children?
Yeah.
All right.
And so, if you've had any experiences with Black Eyed Children or, you know, questions that you want us to look into, just send us a message on Instagram at instagram.com/#creaky, spell out hashtag. You can also leave us a voice message by clicking the link in the episode description, and you can send us a message on Facebook at #creaky. So many different ways to contact us. We just really want to hear from you guys, and we love it when we get messages and tweets. You can also tweet at us at #creaky. I had somebody tweet at me recently and was showing me like this humanoid type figure that was in the ocean on Google Maps. If you, I retweeted it on #creaky. So if you're interested in that, then just go check out our Twitter. It was very creepy. Yeah. If you have anything like that or any, you know, suggestions for future episodes, let us know too. You're welcome to message us, tweet us, send us a letter. however you want to communicate with us, let us know.
Maybe we'll get a P.O. box. I don't know.
Yeah. Can we do like P.O. box creaky, or it has to be numbers probably?
Maybe we can do like phone numbers, you know, our phone numbers spell out stuff.
Oh yeah.
So we'll go to the post office and be like, hey, we need this very specific P.O. box.
It has to be P.O. box creaky. Okay. Well, I think that's all that can be discussed about the Moon Eye people. We went over our different theories, and it's very, very interesting. I'm excited to talk about Black Eyed Children next week. What about you?
Oh, I am too. It's Black Eyed, the idea of Black Eyed Children and the accounts and the different stories I've heard about them are very creaky.
Yeah, extremely creaky.
Oh, yeah, like I've never struck a child, but
you would have to do that to this one.
Yeah, if a little Black Eyed child was trying to lure me out or something, or trying to get in my house, I might have to hit it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's very skinwalkerish, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So before our next episode, if you haven't listened to the Skinwalker episode, so whenever we do mention that, you'll know what we're talking about. And yeah, anything else to add, Brooks, before we...
No, I think I'm going to save the rest of the theories and connections for the next podcast for the Black Eyed Children.
Oh, awesome. All right, mm-hmm. You guys, until next time, keep it creaky.